Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, before we jump into the show, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Strava Craft Coffee, who are giving you 25% off right now. 25% off when you use the code DNVR25. You'll get a quarter of your purchase for free. It's a pretty sweet deal. And what's better is once you try out this rich, tasty CBD-infused coffee and realize that you love it, well, you can subscribe to Strava Craft Coffee, and they'll send it straight to your door every 2, 4, 6, or 8 weeks, and you'll continue getting a large discount, 20% off every single time they do it. You won't have to worry about putting in your credit card information. You won't have to worry about running out of coffee. They'll just send it to you whenever you need. So check out Strava Craft Coffee today.
Number one for the one and only. Couple with Breck, Brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
We are DNVR, and we are live from Studio B. The B stands for Broncos, and it is a big day for maybe not quarterback talk, but another guy who we actually talked about not showing out yesterday. We'll get around to who that is in just a second here, unless you've read the title of the show, in which case you probably know who we're talking about. But first, we want to give a shout out to our presenting sponsor, MSU Denver. MSUDenver.edu/online is the website. MSU Denver students work twice as many hours as students attending any other Colorado institution. So what that means is you can get a great education while keeping a full-time job, and then hopefully later down the road you get a better full-time job because of that education. Mace,
how are you, my friend?
I am doing good.
Yeah,
went to the Rockies game last night, watched them light up the sky with some home runs, grand slams.
Saw a bunch of jerseys of people who no longer play for the Cubs anymore.
Yes, I did not actually, and I'm not exaggerating, I did not in person one time see a Cubs fan wearing a jersey of a player who's on the team. Now, someone responded to my tweet of someone in the stadium wearing a Jason Hayward jersey, but I didn't see that person with my own eyes.
Yeah, it's because I guess no one wanted Jason Hayward, which is too bad. I mean, gosh, 11 years ago when he broke through, man, with the Braves, looked like he was going to be a superstar for a long time. And
sure did.
Yeah, it was. Jason Hayward and Freddie Freeman came about the same time. It was Freddie that was the one that was the MVP and not Hayward. But, yeah, the Cubs are kind of a depressed husk of their former selves right now, really.
Yes.
But anyways, their fans still showed out, for better or for worse.
They sure did. Yes. They bought those tickets a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well enjoy a nice night in Denver in the summertime, right? I mean, you already bought the tickets.
I'm a Rockies fan, and I was there. Yes. So, you know, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, nice night, though, yeah.
Yes, it was a nice night. Okay. First question I have for you about training camp today is, how is the energy? A lot of people complained about the energy yesterday, thought it was a low-energy practice for the first padded practice. Did it ramp up at all today?
It ramped up a little bit. I think part of it was part of it was pushing the ball downfield a little bit more and just kind of the structure of practice. I think if I'm going to offer a critique here of how the coaches plan the practices, it is this. Yesterday at camp, if you're listening, so Tuesday at camp specifically, that they focused on the run, they did some work on the screen game, and then they also practiced situations like throwing it out of bounds with 1 second left and that sort of thing. If you're going to have a day that's kind of meat and potatoes-ish, run, screen game, that kind of thing, what you need to do in the middle of practice is throw in like a 2-minute move of the ball period.
Mm.
Just get everybody
riled up a little bit.
Riled up, lively. Give them a real meaty situation that that gets everyone jacked up, kind of gets everyone thinking, okay, it's kind of the clutch here, got to make a play. And they did that today. We'll get into that as this show goes on, but that's where I think they kind of erred, is in kind of, instead of having a period like that midway through practice, they're having a period where they're literally trying to spike the ball after one completion, or they're having the quarterback throw out of bounds. So I think there are some things structurally in practice that maybe can keep everybody a little bit more engaged. I mean, I didn't, you know, I thought that the effort was there, but it was certainly a little bit languid. And today I think it popped a little bit more. It also helped that there were some plays that popped. You had Teddy kind of setting the tone early, going on a play action, roll to the right, found Noah Fant deep down the left sideline, past Justin Strnad, beaten in coverage, threw across the field, great play, 55-yard touchdown. Yep. So you had some dynamism going on today that wasn't there on Tuesday.
All right, let's not bury the lead too far, Mace.
Yes.
The real story out there today was Courtland Sutton. And the funny thing about this is yesterday, Zach and I went through the whole roster, mm-hmm. and I asked him, trending up or trending down? And I believe he had Courtland Sutton as either neutral or trending down, just saying, like, he hasn't showed out. We haven't seen that big play threat. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like maybe he's still settling in. Well, great news on that front.
Great news on that front, because in this case, Courtland Sutton made his quarterbacks look good, and a couple of plays jump out. First one is he makes a one-handed grab of a pass that Teddy throws behind him. It's not a good throw by Teddy Bridgewater. Courtland reaches back, gets the one-handed grab. Lots of oohs and ahs from the audience. And then later on has another nice grab, again, kind of reaching behind him, this one from Drew Locke. So this is the Courtland Sutton that we know and love. The Courtland Sutton who can bail out his quarterback because either he's able to make kind of that play in traffic, that leaping grab. It wasn't really that today. This was the fact that if you put it anywhere within arm's length, even if it's a throw that's off, even if it's the wrong shoulder, even if it's behind him instead of leading him, he's got a chance to make that play.
Yep.
Quarterback's best friend when he's doing things like that.
And it was such a glaring hole last season.
Yes.
In the offense. You know, Tim Patrick is a very good NFL receiver, but he's just not the same type of vertical athlete. And I think even like his catch radius just might not be quite as big as Courtland Sutton's. And he's just not a guy who you just say, like, just throw it up and give him a chance. He's not that physical freak, even though he is a special athlete in his own right. He's not that physical freak that Courtland is, where you just say, if you give him an opportunity to catch the ball, you've got a great chance. You know, we used to call him 60-40 balls or even 70-30 balls when it came to him in that first camp when Case Keenum kept finding him deep.
Well, your theory is if you get on the opponent's side of the 50, throw it down there, give him a shot.
Yeah,
give him three shots. Yes. And when he makes plays like this, absolutely, you take these shots because he's making plays when the throws aren't where you want them to be. It's one thing. I mean, if the ball is in stride, he's got a chance to take it the distance. This, he's not going to take it the distance, but he reaches out and plucks a ball behind him with one hand. That's 20 yards that you didn't have otherwise.
Yeah, Ali,
I think that's a game-changing moment. The Broncos put the video up of that up on Twitter with the caption, "Court doing court things."
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is the perfect way to describe what he was doing. He was Courtland Sutton today.
And that is so relieving to hear. Because
so exciting.
While it was understandable what Zach was saying yesterday, and true, that he just hadn't popped yet.
Yes.
It's always a little bit scary. Because you just think to yourself, okay, well, he's owed some time to get his legs under him. Yeah. But how long? Is it a year? Is it 6 months? Is it five practices? It looks... Hopefully, like it was five practices or six practices before he was able to kind of get his legs back underneath
him. His reps are going up as well. The other thing is when they were easing him back in, he was doing a lot of stuff with the second team, and now we're starting to see him do more with the first team. I mean, if I have a little bit of a concern, sometimes there still looks to be a little bit of a hitch, but that's something that you expect is going to come with time. They would not have him out there if his knee wasn't well enough to where he can play.
Right.
And the thing that we also know with all the with all these ACLs is this: there's that year where you can play, but maybe you're not back to being all the way there, but you're most of the way there. And then it's the year after when you're kind of 100%. And I think maybe we kind of see that with Courtland, where he's like 90 to 95% of what he was in this first year back. But based on today and the ability to make those plays when the passes aren't exactly on target, this shows he's going to be a plus player. He's going to help you. And oh, by the way, he's probably not going to see cornerback one a lot of the time, the way Jerry Jeudy is playing. So his matchups are going to be better.
That, I mean, I agree with you. But just thinking about that and like saying it out loud, Courtland Sutton going against CB2 is a big problem for a lot of teams.
Yes.
A big, big problem. And then, of course, you know, you throw in Noah Fant, who's probably drawing a mismatch as well.
I mean, he was burning Justin Strnad.
Tough for Justin.
It is tough for Justin. You know, there's a lot on his plate. He's adjusting. It was a tough day all around for Justin because there was one play where Javonte Williams, he crashes up the middle. Justin fills the hole, and Williams just goes straight into his chops.
Mm. Threw him.
Didn't throw him, just kind of knocked him back.
Did he run through him?
Yeah, kind of. Like he knocked him back a little bit. He went right at the chest.
Well, it's a good job by the running back. A little more of a maybe a collision that you hope to see at training camp.
It is, but you're also testing Justin Strnad. I think you're trying to find out what his strengths are, what his limitations are. You're trying to, and it's an opportunity to, with Josie Jewell on the shelf. It's an opportunity to find out whether Strnad is an every down linebacker, and it's. And, but the thing is, he gets beat by Noah Fant. Noah Fant's going to beat a lot of people.
What's interesting is if I'm going up against the Broncos, depending on how, let's just assume Courtland is at full health.
Yeah.
I actually think I'm putting my CB1 on Courtland.
Okay.
Because I don't think anyone's CB1 can stay with Jerry Jeudy. So you're basically telling my CB2 play off of him and keep him in front of you. Whereas, like, I mean, who was it? I forget who it was, but there was a very strong corner who was talking this year who said that Jerry might have been the toughest matchup he faced last year.
Yeah.
Who was that? Well, been in Carolina.
I know.
Early or something.
I know what you're talking about. Now, what's interesting is you talk about like the quality of corners that you're going to face. We just take Pro Football Focus's rankings. Who are the best outside corners, right? Okay. Jair Alexander, you're not going to see him. Jalen Ramsey, you're not going to see him. Marlon Humphrey, you'll see him in week four. Xavien Howard, who knows where he ends up.
Mm-hmm.
James Bradbury, the Giants, you'll see him right out of the blocks. Stephon Gilmore, Patriots. Tre'Davious White of the Bills, you're not going to see either of those guys. Denzel Ward of the Browns. And then William Jackson and Marcus Peters. So you're going to see about you're going to see about half of the top 10 cornerbacks in this league. Now, the question is, do you look at, for example, Denzel Ward as somebody who could contain Jerry Jeudy?
I think
if you don't see him that way, then you put Denzel on Courtland.
I probably look at Jalen Ramsey end list for me.
Okay.
As guys that I would put on Jerry Jeudy and say, like, he can clamp him down.
Okay, that's fair.
And again, Jerry has to put all the other stuff together. It looks like he has so far in this camp. How did he look today?
Looked fine. I mean, he looked like himself. But, I mean, today was Courtland being the alpha. But that's... You get into the season, and we're going to have games where Courtland Sutton leads in receiving yardage, or Jerry Jeudy leads, or Noah Fant leads. It's not going to be where one of these guys is always having 110, 120 yards. So you think about, I mean, although, you know, Jerry Jeudy is very confident that he can get 2,000 yards, and I like the confidence that he has there. At the same time, between this offense probably emphasizing the run more than most offenses, the relative limitations of the quarterbacks, and the fact that you have three aces, as it were, in terms of catching the ball, there are only going to be but so many opportunities to go around. Like if you could get two of those guys north of 1,000 yards, and I mean kind of on the low end north of 1,000, like 1,100 or so,
mm-hmm.
and then get another 800 to 900 out of Noah Fant, I think you're pretty ecstatic with that.
Well, yeah, because it tells you your quarterback's throwing for 4,000
yards. Exactly. Hopefully that means your quarterback is averaging 250 yards or so a game.
Yeah.
And whoever he is.
And that would be fantastic.
Yes.
But it is, yeah, I mean, Jerry, like I said, I'm not going to be the one telling him he can't do it because I don't think anyone can cover him. But it's going to be very hard with the options out there to rack up 2,000 yards, as it would be wherever you are, unless your quarterback's, you know, Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers. Not even Tom Brady, I don't think, is an option there. I guess you had the Tom Brady-Randy Moss season. I don't even know how many yards he had.
Yeah, was that like 1,800?
Yeah, he was close.
Jerry Rice pushed around 2,000 once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he had some good supporting talent, but there was a big gap between Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Brent Jones, their tight end.
Right.
Actually, some years, their second best pass catcher was a running back, Roger Craig.
Yeah.
Who won, I believe he did have a 1,000 rushing and receiving season.
That's sweet.
Which, think that he's doing that in the 80s. I mean, my God.
Right. That's special. Okay. We're going to go backwards today. So why don't you tell me non-quarterback notes from practice that we should hit on, and then the second segment, we'll get all the quarterback.
I'll tell you what, we talked a lot about the running game yesterday in terms of writing, and I'm sure you guys talked about it on the show as well. Well, it was kind of like the defense striking back a little bit, especially up front. And I mean, the thing that jumped out was guys that were making plays against the run. Like you saw Deshaun Williams and Draymond Jones immediately being disruptive against the run. This was a really good day for the defensive line, not only against the run, but in terms of generating some interior pressure. Draymond Jones was in the backfield. Shelby Harris had a play that would have ended up as a sack. Marquise Spencer, I believe Zach's talked about Spencer. I know one of the days he was a name to know or a guy on the rise, and he had a good day today. He had a couple of plays that would have been run stuffs, and another that probably would have been a sack in game conditions. Telvin Ejim was in the backfield as well. I mean, you're seeing the contributions all around. You're actually seeing, on a consistent basis, more pressure coming from the interior D linemen than from the edges right now.
Interesting. Do you think any of that has to do with the fact, not taken away from the interior, but with the fact that Von Miller, one, wants to protect himself a little bit this year, and two, knows in his heart, I can ruin practice any day. I don't feel like doing it.
A little bit. He's held back from time to time. Now, today, Von Miller was off. He got a veteran rest day. So we saw a little bit more of Bradley Chubb. We also saw like Derek Tuska and Malik Reed. Now Tuska, there was an interesting moment in practice because we're seeing some one-on-ones, O-line, D-line, and Tuska tried to bull rush Garrett Bowles in one-on-one. This is not a good idea.
It's not going to end well.
And Bowles just kind of quickly just brushed him off. And one thing that's interesting,
I kind of like the ambition.
I do, but at the same time, something that I'm noticing, Garrett Bowles is becoming a really vocal player.
Ooh.
And really vocal in kind of helping his teammates. We know, for example, how he helped Calvin Anderson. Anderson lived at the Bowles house last year. Two of them watched film all the time. Calvin talked about how Bowles kind of helps him to say, all right, you need to react more than you think, because Anderson, being that incredibly bright guy that he is, he sometimes has a little bit of paralysis by analysis because you're thinking about too many possibilities when you really need to kind of distill it down a little bit. And Garrett has helped him with that. But you see Bowles helping his fellow linemen. You also see him telling the guys on the edges, oh, hey, you know what? You do that, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work for you. Try something else.
Love that.
And you think, all right, this team needs kind of some vocal leaders, and not just guys who are going to point the way, but guys who are going to tell their teammates when they're doing poorly and here's what you can do differently.
And Bowles is starting with Bowles.
Right. Vaughn did that with Bowles as a rookie and in his second year as well. And now Bowles is starting to do that with guys on the O-line and guys in the front seven as well. And so he's kind of, I love seeing that side of Garrett Bowles. And I love the fact that you're starting to maybe get a player or two who's emerging as that tough love leader. I mean, Vaughn is kind of a happy-go-lucky leader.
Yep.
If the quarterback position if it's Drew or Teddy, you know, Drew, you know, Drew's good, you know, just
they're one of the guys.
They're one of the guys. Teddy's kind of a, you know, he has friends in every clique in the locker room. Everybody likes him. Drew's one of the guys. You don't have many guys who can kind of be the correcting leader.
Mm-hmm.
Bowles might be becoming one of those players. I think Kareem Jackson certainly is on the other side as well, but that's something that you really need. I love seeing that side of Garrett Bowles today in one-on-one. I also love watching the one-on-ones because, you know, there were some glimpses. Now, Quinn Miners, he had some false start issues in team. Shows you how far he has to go.
Mm-hmm.
In one-on-one, that dude is nearly impossible to dislodge. Makes the snap. He gets into his set so quickly. And of course, he's got a really strong lower body, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
He is nearly impossible to move. One-on-ones, conversely, were a little rough for Lloyd Cushenberry today.
One-on-ones are where, actually, where both Quinn Miners and Lloyd Cushenberry made their meet at the Senior Bowl.
That's right. A little rougher for Lloyd Cushenberry today. You had guys that were kind of able to flash across him to get to one shoulder and then get to the spot where Chris Cooper was standing, basically mimicking the quarterback position. So, but I'm encouraged by Garrett. I'm encouraged by Garrett Bowles right now.
And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this last night. I don't know if you did see the excerpt that came out of Nikita Zadorov talking about Nathan McKinnon?
No.
Well, it's long and awesome. Basically, you know, you'll when I'm talking, you'll just hear Peyton Manning.
Right.
But he's basically said, like, Mac will not tolerate anything but a perfect pass in practice that's coming to him. So he's like, if you hit him in the skate, if you just miss his blade by a couple centimeters, he will stop everything, smack the puck back at you, and just say, do it again.
I love that.
And, you know, the story went on and on and on about how just insane he is. But sometimes you have to be a little insane. And having that type of leader on a team that is willing to just say, like, no, this isn't good enough, so the coaches don't have to be the ones to point out when it's not good enough, can be a really positive thing. The Broncos haven't had it for a while. If Garrett Bowles can be that guy, and by the way, he's earned the right to tell people, and he can
second team all pro. You have to earn it. You can't, like, Drew can't do that.
Yeah.
Even if Drew wanted to.
Neither can Teddy, because he doesn't have the seniority.
He doesn't have the seniority. At least Teddy has helped the team to the playoffs. So he'd have a little more of a case to do it, but the quarterbacks can't do it. And you're not gonna see it from certain positions. I mean, it would be hard for a running back to do it. Like, obviously, it's easiest if it comes from the quarterback or, say, inside, like your inside linebacker who's calling the plays on the defensive side, but it can come from elsewhere. But that guy left the building when DeMarcus Ware left the team.
Yeah.
Because you had Peyton and D-Ware, and then you still had D-Ware. And once he was gone, it was gone. And it hasn't come back yet.
And what a cool thing about Bowles is, from, let's say you are, Calvin Anderson is too close to him, so I don't want to use that example. Let's say you're Marquise Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
And Garrett Bowles is just saying, like, hey, man, that's not going to work.
Right.
Let me show you, you know, how you can help. Well, if you're Marquise Spencer, you should have a lot of respect for Garrett Bowles in the sense that he's been at the bottom, mm-hmm. and he worked his way all the way up to second team All-Pro. So not only does he have, you know, the accolades to say, hey, look, I know what it's like in this league,
mm-hmm.
but he also can level with you and saying, look, I was nothing at one point.
Leadership means more when you had your ass kicked at some point, but when you're just down there with the rest of them. I mean, with Peyton, how often do you talk about the fact that he threw 28 interceptions as a rookie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he was the number one overall pick, a generational prospect, but he could lead from a position of saying, yeah, I suck too at one point.
And what's crazy is you look later in the career, maybe no one has ever seen the field as well as he saw the field.
Yeah.
And clearly he wasn't seeing the field as a rookie. Or maybe he just believed in his arm a little too much, one or the other. But he learned and figured out a way to see the field better than or as good as anyone ever.
Yeah.
And with Garrett, you know, it's kind of like how Tiger Woods says, like, I don't know how to teach people how to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, he's like, I couldn't be a coach because people can't do things.
Yeah.
Like, certain guys are so good that they're like that. Garrett Bowles is coming from a totally different position. He is not just so gifted and talented that he doesn't know how he got here. Yeah. He knows exactly how he got here. He put his one foot in front of the other every step of the way to get to where he is.
And he did it by learning technique. I mean, he had the raw athleticism, but he became better at technique because he not only listened to his coaches, but he applied what he learned. I mean, everyone can listen to their coaches, but then he took that next step of applying it. And so he can sit there and say, this is where I was in 2018. Look at where I am now. And the steps I took to get here, these are steps that you can take too. Maybe not necessarily to be an all pro, but to maximize what you are and contribute in this league.
100%. All right. If you want to maximize your account at DraftKings Sportsbook, you can take $1 this week and bet it on any fighter, or should I say either fighter, to land a punch in the main event at UFC 265 this weekend, and you'll get $100. You bet one, you win $100 on UFC 265 if either fighter in the main event lands a punch. It's a great deal over at DraftKings Sportsbook. And Mace, DraftKings Sportsbook just today has launched same game parlays, which is super fun.
Wow.
So right now it's only on baseball and I believe MLS. Those are the two I've seen. They're going to be expanding it. And I've confirmed with my sources at DraftKings that this is going to be around for football season. Why is that fun? Because you can basically put together a parlay of all fun Broncos things. So you could have a parlay that says Jerry Jeudy is going to have over four catches. Melvin Gordon's going to have over 65 rushing yards. The Broncos are going to win. They're going to hold the Giants to under 17.5 points. And you start to build all that, and you start to get a ton of great value. Mm-hmm. You hit it all, you go home a big winner. So a ton of fun stuff going on at DraftKings, and they always crank up the boosts and all that good stuff for the beginning of football season. So get in now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and when you use the code DNVR, you can get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Of course, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. The deposit bonus requires a 25x playthrough and restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
If I tried to get through all that fast, I'd stumble like 10 times.
I've read it about 10,000 times, so.
I still get tongue-tied.
Muscle memory at this point.
If you don't want to be tongue-tied, have a Breck brew. Have two. Have three. Drink responsibly, of course. Make sure you've got that designated driver. We appreciate it, by the way, knowing that there were a bunch of designated drivers in the crowd here at the DNVR bar on Saturday when we had our grand reopening.
Absolutely.
So people were really responsible about that, and we love to see that.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So Breckenridge Brewery, it's the official beer of DNVR. They've got their Good Company hard seltzers here in the DNVR bar. But what we love even more than those beers and seltzers is the fact that Breckenridge Brewery is teaming up with the National Parks Conservation Association this year. Last year, the tragic fires in Colorado were devastating for so many. So this is one of the many reasons that Breck will donate 1% of all profits this summer to the National Parks Conservation Association. So you get a Breck Brewery, get a Good Company hard seltzer, you're helping our great outdoors. We'll have some events at the DNVR bar to promote this, including the chance to win a $30,000 escape pod trailer. Head on over to their website and enter to win. Just go to breckbrew.com/ingoodco. That's breckbrew.com/ingoodco for more details on winning that $30,000 escape pod trailer. We're going to be giving away some Breck Brew swag over the course of the summer, so check it out. But don't forget to enter to try and win, that escape pod trailer. Go to breckbrew.com/ingoodco.
All right. Also, I want to just tell you about the great things we have going on down here at DNVR. This weekend, we mentioned UFC 265 as it relates to DraftKings. Well, we will have the fight on here at DNVR, and we don't charge a cover. All we ask is that you come down here and have a damn good time. So I'll be here. Allie will be here. Mace, you going to swing by for UFC, maybe? Hit me with a maybe.
Maybe, although it's this weekend, right?
Yes, Saturday.
I'll be at the Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. He's not going to be here.
I will be watching our friend Steve Atwater unveil his bust and give his speech. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's what a thrill.
That's going to be awesome.
Get to see a friend, a very dear friend, Steve Atwater, and then two of my favorite guys I ever covered the next night, John Lynch and Peyton Manning going. It's phenomenal. It's like this is your life as a football fan and as a football journalist. This is. Because I saw John Lynch growing, of course, in Tampa back in the day as well. So This is really cool.
Well, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
If you're not going to Canton, come by the DNVR bar. You
yes.
get yourself a member-sized beer. Get yourself all sorts of great stuff down here. Check out our merch store. New hats came in yesterday, so you can check those out.
These are fire.
They're sweet.
These hats.
So, so much going on, but especially want you guys to come check out the bar this weekend for UFC 265. All right, Mace, let's move on to the quarterbacks. This will be probably the only time it takes us 30 minutes before we talk quarterbacks, but not as juicy the last 2 days as it relates to these guys.
Not as juicy, although some interesting stuff. And, you know, I mentioned the pass that Teddy had to Noah Fant. Beautifully executed play action, but then throwing across the field. And that's, you know, that's something that's key for Teddy because he doesn't have the arm strength. So when he rolls out, can he throw sideline to sideline? If he rolls right, can he throw left? If he rolls left, can he throw right? Is there enough there? Well, there was more than enough there. He had and he was able to take advantage of Fant getting past Justin Strnad, touchdown. I mean, mm-hmm. that's key. If Teddy can make those kinds of throws, it will make him harder to defend for the defense as well.
Totally.
So that's a key thing for him. I mean, Drew had a solid day. I think you would have been able to say it was a good day for Drew if he did not have that pick at the end. And that was kind of, you know, he had the offense going. It was first team offense versus combo first, second team defense there. Like they had OJ Moody out there for the series, for example, but they had Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson back there at safety. Some nice passes. There was a pass to Cortland Sutton for 24 yards. Gets the ball rolling. They started at their own 25. They're at the they're in the red zone. They've got third down. And the thing that kind of frustrates you on this, and will probably frustrate Drew when he watches the film, is that he could have scrambled for the yards. He had third down. It was not something where he had to go for it all right then and there, although it was a scenario where the offense was down 7.
It did need
so they needed a touchdown, but they had, I believe they had 33 seconds on the clock.
And how many yards to go?
14.
Okay.
They had third down. It wasn't the end of the world here. I mean, he could have taken the scramble, gotten to the line to gain and clocked it and put the offense in good shape. And so he tried to force it in there, and Justin Simmons picked it off. And, you know, Simmons is going to make you pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some safeties who aren't going to react, who aren't going to have the same kind of quick reaction, the ability to read the quarterback's intent as Simmons does. But you do go against some good safeties on the draft, I mean, or in the schedule. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, he's probably going to make that play too. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and it sucks from a Drew Lock perspective because it sounds so familiar, right? Mm-hmm. It was all good until it wasn't. We've seen that happen. You know, you go back to the opening drive against Kansas City where mm-hmm. it's like they're moving the ball. They got a chance to really start this game off well. And then one just lapse, mental lapse, maybe just a, maybe not even considered mental lapse, just a
bad decision.
And an over-aggression that mm-hmm. isn't exactly necessary.
Charger game too. I mean, that first drive in the Chargers game, you know, it's third down and he rolls out. That's where you wish it would have been kind of Teddy throwing it away and this getting the field goal.
Yep.
Ditto for the Chiefs game. I mean, that's, you know, getting points on the board is crucial there. And now again, they were down 7. So situationally, you're going to try it. If he tried that on fourth down, I think I would have felt better about it. But trying it on third down, and again, when it was opening him up to scramble, like Teddy had a play today where things earlier in practice opened up. And like everybody was covered, but there was a lane right down the middle, and he just took off, and he would have, in game conditions, it would have been 15 yards. And yeah. Teddy's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a good enough runner to do that.
Right. The thing that you wonder, though, in this, you know, goes back to us not knowing exactly what the coaches are telling these guys is, have maybe the coaches say, hey, look, we know you can scramble.
Yes.
So when you get outside of the pocket, look to make a play with your arm first.
Well, he was in the pocket, like...
Okay, he was in the pocket.
Yeah, like he hadn't really moved outside. Like he wasn't toward the sideline outside the numbers kind of thing.
But it was just open up the middle for a running if he wanted.
It would have looked like it was there, and again, it was third down. Fourth down, I think you might have a, you're going to have a different perspective on it, but down in distance and situation matters. And so then Teddy goes up twos versus twos, actually kind of starts it the same way Drew did, about a 19-yard completion to get him going, get him to midfield. They're moving the ball well. Then they get to the 20-yard line, and he's looking for Brandon Mack. And Teddy described it after practice as miscommunication. Did, kind of a code for when quarterbacks say that. If it's on them, the quarterback, and Teddy and Drew are both the kind of guys who will say, it's on me. Miscommunication. Didn't say it was on me, just said it was miscommunication. Brandon Mack's going in one direction, the ball goes the other. So,
and that was intercepted.
That was intercepted by a guy whose name keeps coming up all the time, Rogestreman Ferris.
Wow.
He's always around the ball, probably because they're always throwing in his direction.
Rogestreman Ferris, no days off.
Yes. Of course, he came a little bit late. He was an in-camp signee. Yes. So Rogestreman Ferris comes up with the pick to end it. By the way, on that lock interception, the guy who was the most visibly frustrated was Garrett Bowles. He was really upset. You could hear him. I wouldn't say, maybe not cussing, but he was angry.
Yelling up a storm?
He was yelling up a storm. So not quite the same thing with Teddy, but it's funny. Like, you kind of look at these moments and you're like, you want one of these guys
someone
break forward. Because, you know, both Zach and I kind of had the same point total today. Teddy 6, Drew 4. Big thing was Teddy having that shot to Noah Fant. And yet Teddy, even though it's a miscommunication, if he doesn't have that pick, if he leads a touchdown drive there, it's Teddy kind of getting a knockdown of Drew today. Didn't happen. Drew could have at least had it all square, maybe even a slight advantage if he gets that touchdown there in the red zone. Didn't happen. Like, these, you know, they just, I mean, you don't want.
It's like a game where you keep saying to yourself, "Who wants to win this?"
It's kind of a reminder that you are dealing with quarterbacks that around the league are widely regarded as two guys that if you had them starting, that they'd be in the bottom third. That's what they are at this point.
Yep.
Like it or not, it's a question of whether the rest of the roster is enough to where you can still have some success, because we have seen that teams can overcome that level of quarterbacking if the rest of the team is doing well enough. We saw Buffalo in 17 as a wild card team. Jacksonville that same year won a division. I mean, even like it took a great defense, but even Peyton Manning was not a high level quarterback across the board in 2015. Kind of the extreme example because you had an all-time defense. But Mitchell Trubisky in 2018 for the Bears wasn't a great quarterback. They won 12 games because they could run the ball. They had some explosive guys when they did complete some passes, and they had a great defense. And so when I say this, it doesn't mean that success is out of the question for the Broncos. It's just going to happen in a way that might make you want to tear your hair follicles out of your scalp.
Lovely. I just think
lovely image there, huh?
This is what I've been saying all off season though, which is the dream that exists for Broncos fans. If you're talking about a best case scenario, is about Drew Lock winning this job, and at some point, for whatever reason, clicking, and he just goes over a hump and becomes a better quarterback. And we've seen it happen before. It's not exactly a common occurrence, but it does exist. That's the dream. And
there's the possibility of that.
Yes.
I mean, Teddy is probably, as at this point, Teddy is not reaching that level. Mm-mm. So basically, it's Teddy, you either take Teddy as he is and probably as he will be, or Drew, well, he might get there, but right now he's not there.
Right.
And so do you go for the might be over the almost certainly won't be?
Yeah, and I would. But I'm not coaching for my job, and that's what that's the great debate, right? Is Vic Fangio going to come out and say, let me go with the safer option, at least to start the season, because we play, you know, three very beatable teams in our first four games.
Right.
So I want to lower the variance as much as I possibly can. That would make sense to me.
Can't blame him for that.
Or do you say, hey, let's let Drew go out there and get his confidence up early in the season against some lesser teams and hope that maybe that's what launches him to that next level. For every point, there's a counterpoint. It's what does make this quarterback competition interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is the underlying bummer of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's a reason these two guys are competing for a starting job, and it's because neither of them, at least to this point, have proven themselves to be a solid starter in the NFL, or else they wouldn't be competing.
Right, and they're two incomplete quarterbacks. They just that's what they are at this point. Now, can Drew find what he's missing? Possibly, like what Teddy is missing, the arm talent. Unless all of a sudden a new arm sprouts from his shoulder, it's not. You know, he's not going to be able. He's not going to have the velocity. He's not going to put the zip on it that Drew can. Now, it's encouraging when you see him throw across the field deep to Noah Fant.
Right, he's not working with nothing.
Right, but he's not. But you're not going to say, "Wow, he really winged it in there." That's right. That's not him. So, I mean, I guess I kind of sound resigned about it because it's like, okay, this is who they are. Now, the other interesting thing that comes in, you mentioned, okay, the coaches are trying to keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. And the other interesting thing is, okay, who knows this offense? Who knows things better? And Graham Glasgow had that comment where he talked about Teddy being more thorough in the huddle, and he kind of was trying to walk it back. You can hear beep, 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 but it's out there now. And he's probably not the only one who feels that way about Teddy versus Drew in the huddle. And I think the other thing that comes up is that Teddy is a little, is, and this is owing to him being a veteran, owing to him having run this offense before and learned it, he's more comfortable with things pre-snap. Drew is improving. He's put a lot of work into that, but Teddy is still above him. Like, there was a play yesterday where Drew didn't look like he diagnosed a corner blitz, and Surtain was there unblocked. It kind of reminds you when Brock Osweiler was running the Kubiak offense in 2015. One of the reasons he got benched in that Charger game was, like, there was a corner blitz, and everyone's like, oh, he was unblocked. But that was on Osweiler because he didn't ID it pre-snap. It.
Yeah.
So, it sound like John Fox. It is what it is.
And we talked about this before the show went live. It feels like, so we talked like pre-pads was its own little section.
Right.
Now pads are going to be its own little section, but it feels like the next milestone, the next opportunity to really get separation in this race is going to come in Minnesota.
Yeah, against somebody else, somebody who doesn't know you, who doesn't see you. Of course, the interesting thing is they know Teddy to some degree.
Yes.
A few of them do. Now, like Mike Zimmer does. But there's been a lot of turnover, I mean, like, in the coaching staff there over the years, and a lot of turnover on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm going to blank here, but I'm guessing there's probably about 10, maybe 12 guys left from the Vikings when Teddy
maybe
played on the team.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's going to be a lot of institutional knowledge that's going to be used against Teddy when he's out there.
I also think it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this, Mace. Drew Lock got the first snap of camp because of his quote-unquote seniority with the Broncos.
Uh-huh.
Does that mean he gets the first snap of the preseason game because of his quote-unquote seniority of the Broncos? If Teddy gets it, it might be a... I mean, they'll be able to explain it away if they want, but to me it might be an indication, okay, they think he has a slight lead.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, if they're saying it's even Steven, then it might just be, okay, well, we're going to default to Drew. And maybe it's going to be as simple as saying one of them gets the first snaps in practice and another gets the first snap in the game.
Yeah.
Or one gets the first snap on Wednesday, one gets the first snap on Thursday, one gets the first snap when it's game time on Saturday afternoon. I mean, who knows? It's probably it might be something like that where they try to kind of split the baby as much as possible.
Well, the good news is... Mace will be there to tell us exactly who got the first snaps in practice. And, of course, we'll all be able to watch the game when it goes down. But, Mace, this is your last show of the week, at least on the live side of things. We'll obviously finish in the podcast here in a second before you head out to Canton.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'll be popping in. I mean, there's ways to get me on live from Minnesota, I'm sure. So this is not going to be the last year for me, but it's going to be RK and Zach. So it'll be, it's going to be different. I'm not used to being away from camp for this long.
Yeah,
because the Hall of Fame, it's throwing my rhythm off a little bit to have right there in the middle of camp miss three practices like that.
Yes, that is very
very odd. Strange. So,
all right,
I'm counting on you. You guys take good notes.
We will.
You are my eyes.
Yes, we're gonna get to the podcast side of things. If you watched this and you enjoyed it, hit us with a thumbs up on your way out. You can also subscribe so you don't miss the next time we go live. And again, Broncos are off tomorrow, so we won't be here tomorrow, but we'll be back on Friday. Zach and I breaking down whatever went down at practice. Again, we're going to switch over to the podcast side of things. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts. All right, guys, before we move on, I have a PSA for you, a pubic service announcement from our friends over at Manscaped. they have dropped the Lawnmower 4.0, and that means the Performance Package 4.0 is out alongside it. Inside it, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, the Weed Whacker Ear and Nose Trimmer, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole system in. So check out Manscaped and use that code DNVR at Manscaped to get 20% off plus free shipping. And you will be a happy man, and you'll probably, if you have a woman, have a happier woman. So check out Manscaped and use that code DNVR.
Also check out our friends over at Solace Meds, a premier dispensary for y'all, with some hot deals to offer for the month of August. Pardon me. Solace Meds, of course, has four convenient Colorado locations in Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, one off Broadway in Denver, and one on East Colfax, just blocks from the DNVR bar. And here are some sizzling deals for the month of August. Dixie Elixirs, 2 for $30. That's Eric Whedon's favorite. Spectra, 20% off. Ripple, 25% off. Silver Shelf Flower, 15% off. Connoisseur Shelf Concentrates, 15% off. And if you head on into any location, you can get a free Solace Bar or King Cone when you mention the code DNVR20 as well. That's any location of Solace Meds. Head on in, mention that code DNVR20 to get 20% off and get a free Solace Bar or King Cone. And of course, that code DNVR20 I mentioned, that'll get you 20% off your entire purchase. Use that at checkout. And here's what you do. You head on over to solacemeds.com. That's SOLACEmeds.com. Order online and then pick it up at your nearest location at your convenience. Couldn't be easier. Go to solacemeds.com, SOLACEmeds.com. Use that code DNVR20 and get 20% off solacemeds.com.
Also want to tell you guys about Ball. Yes, like Ball Arena, but also Ball Aerospace and the Ball cans. Pretty much everywhere that you are getting and drinking out of a can, it's coming from Ball. They made over 101 billion cans in 2020, which is just an absurd number.
That's a lot of cans.
It is a hell of a lot of cans. And they want to make more. And so to make more cans, they need more employees. And they're looking right at you to come join them. So right here in Golden, you can apply to work at Ball and try to get a position at their aluminum can plant. They're looking for people just like you to come work for them. So to get in on this, text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. Or you can just simply text Golden to 77222. 222. All right, Mace, let's move into the comment section.
Yes, let's get started with our friend The Count, who leads us off today by asking us this as I scroll up. That's my way of buying time while I scroll up. Another year at camp, which means it's time for the Power Trio to enlist the new crew of the Lifeboat Boys and the Bubble Bubble guys. Who you got? Let's hear them love The Count. Okay, Bubble Bubble, explain.
Well, the Bubble Bubble is the guys who are, you know, barely gonna make this thing.
Okay.
That is basically, you've got two competing bands here. The Lifeboat Boys.
Yes.
They're in the lifeboat. If you are going down, you need to save these guys.
Right.
The Bubble Bubble guys.
Okay.
And the Bubble Bubble guys are just they're good enough to make the team or be an NFL player, but they're not quite there.
Okay, that's fair.
So let's go three each.
All right.
As we go through the whole thing, and then I'll take a whole show.
Yeah. On the lifeboat, Calvin Anderson's on my lifeboat.
Okay, think more about, like, the top players on the team.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about guys that are kind of, they're not starters, okay, they're backup. Yeah,
those are the bubble guys.
Okay. But he's not a bubble, so Calvin's in between. But Calvin's on my deal. Okay, the lifeboat guys are Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm. He's probably, is he number one? He's had the first ticket onto the lifeboat right now.
Yes, right now he does.
I think he does too.
You know what? I'm going Jerry Jeudy, Garrett Bowles.
Yeah, gotta have Bowles.
And even though he's only a rookie, I'm putting Sertan on my lifeboat.
One of those times where you and I are simpatico.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
That's exactly what I put on my three-man lifeboat as well. All right, three guys. Let's say they're on the right side of the bubble for you, but just barely.
Okay, right side of the bubble. I'm finding a way to keep Trinity Benson on this team. He's just making plays. Play after play after play.
Do you think he can play special teams? Like,
that's the question. Yeah. Can he be a gunner? That's where he's going to earn his job.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you'll see someone like Seth Williams, who actually did, he did get involved today as well. And we're going to get into games and probably get a little bit of a better glimpse, but I'd say he's a bubble guy. Marquise Spencer, 7th round pick. So that's somebody who you could sneak through the practice squad, but the last few days and the last 2 days since pads went on, consistently making plays, consistently getting in the backfield. See, I don't think McTelvin Ejim is a bubble guy.
Mm-mm.
But Marquise Spencer is a bubble guy.
And he's on.
Yeah, he's on. And then another guy who keeps flashing, keeps popping up is Andre Mintz. And he got the big signing bonus among the undrafted rookies as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's on my bubble list right
on
now.
On the team, not just the practice squad.
Yes. He sneaks on to the 53.
All right, well, I haven't seen nearly as many camp practices as you, so I'm going to lean your way when it comes to the bubble boys.
I know Ryan Edwards loves him some Andre Mintz.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. Some people call me the Space Cowboy, says, regarding your Alabama players currently on NFL rosters. Article written May 2021, and this is from the Nick Saban era. I'll go by amount of players. 6 players on the Dolphins, 5 players on the Raiders and Pats, 4 players on the football team, Steelers, Eagles, Giants, and Browns, 3 players on the Broncos, Titans, Texans, Panthers and Falcons, and it goes on. So no, it didn't bear out. We were saying, I wonder if the teams who are selecting the most Alabama players are having the most success. It's not true.
No, and actually, you look at some of the teams that are down there with 0-1, and you've got the Bills, the Saints, the Packers, the Seahawks, Tampa Bay, the world champions have won. You also have the Cardinals, the Lions, ugh. Colts. Is anyone going to be left standing on that team?
You know what I'm actually starting to wonder, though, I look at this? Are more Alabama players on worse teams because worse teams have higher draft picks?
Possible, yeah. I mean, but the football team, for example, like went heavy on Alabama defensive guys for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just picked a bunch. They like SEC defensive guys over in Washington. Of course, the best guy they have defensively now is a Big Ten guy.
Right.
The monstrous Chase Young, so...
All right, next one from Free Philip Lindsay. I'm a little behind on pods, but I've been a little blown away by how often you guys discuss Teddy as no upside, no future with him option as opposed to someone who could still grow and get better. The guy isn't like Fitzpatrick. He's 28. He hasn't even played the equivalent of 4 seasons. It seems like something about Teddy makes some people look at him different than other quarterbacks. Tannehill was 28 and had over 4 seasons in Miami before going to the Titans. And, of course, there's countless examples of QBs improving and growing towards their ceiling or raising their ceiling at age 28. Even if it's not as pronounced as Tannehill. It's not like Teddy's development is magically stopped at this point. He might be the lower upside option compared to Drew or a very little upside, but it seems as accurate to treat him like he has no upside, not to mention if all we get is Teddy's current ceiling, look at what he did with the Saints. That can be great for years while we draft or develop or acquire the guy. Any of this isn't I want Teddy to be the starter, more as I'm perplexed why Teddy is being described as having no upside. Great coverage throughout camp so far. Well, I will say we have talked about the perceived or possible upside with Teddy, talking about that short run he had there with the Saints, talking about the fact that he got to the Vikings, to the playoffs 1 year. So we've mentioned it. I honestly think what it comes down to with Teddy is a lack of physical tools. That is what creates the narrative that this is probably what he is, because it's not as if he has a rocket arm and he just hasn't honed it in yet, or, you know, he's blisteringly fast or anything. He lacks elite tools in any part of his game, and that's bore itself out in what we've seen on the field. And so it leads us to believe we're probably looking at what Teddy Bridgewater is.
You look at a guy who doesn't have elite tools, in particular quarterback, when it comes to the arm, and you feel like he's maximizing what he has. Whereas with Drew, he does have zip. He does wing it. Okay, he's not, in terms of quarterback arm velocity, arm talent, he's not Josh Allen.
No one is.
He's not Lamar. You know, Lamar Jackson can throw cannon shots, okay? He's maybe not in the class of some of those guys that have the big rifle arms, but he's got a good arm, a very good arm in terms of velocity, arm talent. And so you're like, okay, how can he harness that? Whereas with Teddy, you feel like he's harnessed what he is to the best of his ability. With Drew, it's like, okay, what else is there?
Mm-hmm.
Can he find the rest that he's missing?
Yeah.
He's certainly working on it, as he alluded to and others have alluded to. That's what, by the way, I saw this thing on The Athletic. Mike Sando did one of his anonymous GM coach stories about the quarterbacks, and somebody anonymously said that Drew was too, quote, casual, unquote, in his study. And I'm like, that's some really out-of-date info at best and completely farcical at worst.
Mm.
Study habits are not Drew's problem.
No.
In fact, they're a strength of his right now.
Drew's problem is trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
Wants to be a little too aggressive when he doesn't need to. At least to me, that's his biggest kryptonite, is he believes in himself to make a play that he shouldn't be trying to make.
Mm-hmm. He did that in Mizzou. And part, it may be who he is.
It's possible.
Because watching all of his games at Mizzou, it's, you know, there were some times when trying to be the hero worked out, but there were other times like, oh man, Drew, don't do that.
Yeah.
So
to answer the question broadly,
yeah.
Drew's the younger guy with better tools and less of a sample.
Yeah.
Teddy is the older guy with worse tools and more of a sample. It leads us to believe that's the guy who he is, and whereas Drew has potential.
Yep. That,
like you just said, he might just be this guy. He might never shake what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. And it's very possible that if it doesn't work out right now, we've seen the last of Drew Lock as a starter in the NFL.
Or he bounces around like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy who sometimes doesn't know his limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to wing it in there.
It's true.
You could, honestly, I look at these two quarterbacks, and I think they're going to end up playing 10 to 14 years in the NFL. Somehow, some way. But they may be lower-level fringe starters, sometimes backups.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll keep getting shots. Teddy will get shots because he's a good placement passer, and Drew will get shots because of the arm talent.
Next one here from Dan Burke. Hey, guys, so to follow up on yesterday, Chief Keef gets called Sosa, primarily because of the character in Scarface, but he's also made reference to Sammy, so it's both. While we're on the subject of Sosa, do you think that Draymond's rookie years are a reasonable barometer for Ajeem, or should we set our sights higher? For reference, Draymond had 3.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, 6 quarterback hits, and 2 passes defended, including 1 pick and 14 games played in 2019. I think that's a fair bar.
I think that's a perfect bar.
Yep.
Because he's going to be a rotational guy, and maybe somebody gets hurt and he gets some starts. And kind of like Draymond was back in 2019.
Next one's from Melbourne Bronco. Okay. He says, hey guys, yesterday's comment of the day. Zach, what's the race called where they jump hurdles? RK, hurdles.
Ha!
Yes, that was a good moment. I should clip that. That was funny.
Did Zach kind of freeze after?
He was like, is that what it's called? I was like, yep. Yeah, you're thinking of the steeplechase.
Yeah, 400-meter hurdles. 110-meter hurdles, right?
And we were talking about the Norwegian guy.
Yes.
Who set the record.
Ungodly race, my gosh.
Yeah, two guys set the world record. We were talking about how much that sucks. Like, you look at the world record in your training, and you're like, if I beat that, I win gold.
And you won silver.
And you got silver. But that's also, like the ultimate
hard luck loss.
Yeah, we were also kind of clowning on the guy from Norway who tried to rip his shirt unsuccessfully.
Okay, the key is you got to, if you really want to do that, you got to take a razor and kind of break some threads, because the late Woody Hayes, when he coached Ohio State, he would take his mesh black O ball cap, or the red scarlet O on the black ball cap, and he would kind of slice up the mesh with a razor, and then when he got upset in practice, it would tear easier.
Mm.
And it was a message he sent to the players.
Well, that's the real trick. Problem is the collar. You got to get something with the collar, because that's the part that's the most well sewn.
Yes.
So
you just got to unravel it there a little bit.
You want to get this next one from Mrs. Quill?
Yes, let's do that. How do you best go about evaluating Lock or Teddy when they're struggling in practice against the ones, since that is potentially the best unit in the whole league. Obviously, most or all teams you play will have worse defenses than what they see in practice. So how do you use that in your evaluation?
You don't really have to, right? You have to do it, I guess, in terms of how good they could be this season.
Yes.
But since they don't move the ball, you don't really get that good of a feel of, like, that anyway. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about comparing them against each other, you don't have to weight it because they're both going up against ghost defenses.
Right.
You hope, or as it's been told to us, an equal amount of times over time.
Yes, and that's the goal over the course of camp. But, like, today, Drew is intercepted by Justin Simmons, and Teddy is going up against the twos. And, you know, there's advantages. The advantage of if you're one versus one, two versus two. The advantage if you're with the ones is you got better guys around you. The disadvantage is you go up against a great defense. Teddy has the advantage of facing the twos, but then the disadvantage of going against receivers who probably aren't going to be here in 4 weeks.
Right.
Or going with the receivers. And if one of them, if there's miscommunication, like he alluded to, maybe one didn't know where to go, and then you get a pick.
Yeah, you're throwing Devontae Mack or whatever his name is.
Brandon Mack. Yeah, they have two. They have Isaiah Mack on the defensive line. They have Brandon Mack on the...
But no Vontae Mack.
No Vontae Mack. Bummer. No matter what. Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. Lionel Hutt's attorney at law for Mace. With everyone, myself included, drinking the absolutely delicious Kool-Aid, it seems that everyone is increasing their prospective win total for the season. What do you think the win's cutoff is for the Vic to stay on as head coach? P.S. Kool-Aid, you want me to drink you right now? But it's the middle of the workday.
Simpsons?
Yeah, it's except he's in the Simpsons episode, he's talking about bourbon. Brownest, the brown liquors. You want me to drink you right now? But I'm in the middle of a trial. Anyway, I guess my win total hasn't increased.
No, mine hasn't either.
I thought it was probably an 8 to 10 win team, 11 if they get lucky, and I still think they're that. And I think they're that no matter which of these guys is the quarterback.
Yep. I've said it once, I'll say it a million times before the season starts. I'm in show me mode. Mm-hmm. I won't believe anything until I see it.
That's fair. And will you even believe it at 3-0?
Yes. I will, even with knowing myself, I will drink the Kool-Aid at 3-0.
See, that's the thing. It's gonna be how they win. If they go 3-0 against those teams and they're dominant, I'll start believing.
I don't need dominant.
If they're 3-0, but they're winning like 13-10 in New York, 20-13, and then maybe they beat the Jets by a couple of touchdowns, my feeling in my gut's gonna be reality's coming in the form of the Ravens and Steelers.
And it'll be an awesome test for them if they are 3-0.
But it'll be nice because it'll give you hope for a while. I mean, it's like when the Bucks would start 5-2 when they were in their bad years. Well, it gives you hope. It's, you know, George Payton said, relevant games in November and December, right?
Yes. And if you're 3-0, you have a very good chance of playing relevant games, whether you make it or not.
Yep.
What's a cutoff for Vic to stay as head coach? I say he has to get to 7 wins.
I think he needs a winning season.
There's a big gap between you and I.
I would say this. The coaching staff certainly feels pressure. Look, George Payton, and he said, hey, I gave you your corners. It's not that they don't get along, but when you weren't hired by the general manager, there's always that level of nervousness.
Oh, you should absolutely be nervous. I get the feeling that George likes Vic. I think he wants to give him a chance, but we'll see.
We'll see.
From MZ Burrow, I see a lot of people on Twitter making fun of the need to practice throwing the ball out of bounds. Thoughts? Well, I would say this. If you don't practice something, then don't expect to get it right. Mm-hmm. So as a coach, you want to cover every single base.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what the scenario that they were working on was.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember a game, I want to say Texas was involved with Colt McCoy, and they needed to throw the ball away. It was like they wanted to gain a couple yards, but they told the quarterback, hey, throw the ball away if it's not there.
Yeah.
Because we still want to try this 60-yard field goal or whatever it is. And Colt McCoy threw the ball way too high, and he was extremely fortunate that the ball hit the ground with barely 1 second left on the clock. So this is something you want to work on with your quarterback. Okay, there's 7 seconds on the clock. We want you to roll right, look to see if you can gain a quick 5 yards. If you can't, throw the ball out of bounds, but don't lob it up in the air. Make sure it hits the ground soon because that's when the clock stops. Doesn't matter where it's going. It doesn't stop until it hits something.
Well, we saw this in the Miami game last year. Drew was trying to throw it away and end the game. Didn't make it to the sideline. Tim Patrick had the catch. So that alone makes me say, yeah, you got to practice this. Because you got it wrong last year.
If I'm Drew, I will never admit I wasn't trying to complete that pass.
It was the longest connection of the season until the final game.
Yes.
Anyway, GM, chill. The big winner in this QB competition will be George Payton. If QB1 busts, Payton can clean house and get his guys in here. If QB1 hits, he looks like a genius for being patient. Win-win for old Georgie. This take isn't wrong.
Yeah. Well, this is the benefit of being at the beginning of your contract.
Right.
Everyone gets the benefit of the doubt early in their contract.
And there are an awful lot of guys on contract years, and if this thing goes askew, George will say, okay, I gave it a shot, now I'm mashing the reset button, potentially with a new owner. But will that new owner keep George Payton around? That's the thing.
I mean, they should.
They should! But you never know. Money bags might have their own GM in mind. I mean, Edgar Kaiser fired Fred Gehrke within a week of taking over the Broncos and hired Grady Alderman and Dan Reeves, fired Red Miller as well. I mean, clean house just like that. So.
All right, Mace, I know that you have to run because you've got a flight to catch tonight.
Thank you.
So let's do one more and then we'll go.
Absolutely.
And Dak Logan says, hey guys, great camp cover so far in camp. I'm loving this content. I have tickets to Broncos versus Vikings. Are any of you going to be in the cities for the practice and the game? Well, we talked about that earlier.
Be in Minneapolis. Can't wait.
Also, I like your comment on reps at QB. When they do a combined practice and play in a live game, Drew and Teddy should probably play most of the game and give the last 5 to 10 minutes to Brett. What are your thoughts on how long Brett should stay in the game? Cheers.
I agree with that because these guys need work and need reps. It was actually curious today because they had a red zone 7-on-7 period and Drew didn't get any reps. It was Teddy and then Rippon. I mean,
what are we doing?
Thank you. It was like Kevin Hogan all over again. What good does this do you? You have a competition. Let the competing guys get the reps.
Also, like, if I'm the coach, I'm sorry. Third string quarterback, you get 10 reps a day, like maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you know what I would be saying? If we have to use you, we are you know what.
We're hoping we play the Jets again.
We are effed, is what I would be saying. So guess what? You get to learn with your eyes.
Yeah, very fair.
All right, that is going to wrap things up for us today. Sorry if we didn't get to your comment. We do try to get to all of them, but sometimes we have a few too many. So if you want to copy and paste it over tomorrow, or if you want to ask a new question tomorrow, we'd be happy to get to it then. We also want to give a shout out to Green Mountain Dental. We've had several listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental and make them their permanent family dentist. You got to go over there, and you can get a free Sonicare toothbrush when you get a cleaning X-ray and exam from Green Mountain Dental. So for now, that's going to wrap it up, but we will talk to you on Friday. No pod tomorrow. We'll talk to you on Friday on the DNVR Broncos podcast.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.